story business publication Forbes recently disclosed plans to go public on the New York Stock Exchange. The 104-year-old publisher will merge with a SPAC called Magnum Opus, putting the company at an enterprise value of $685 million. While you may know Forbes for its glossy magazine, of course, they are known for many other things, such as newsletters and the 30 Under 30 list. Let's welcome in Forbes CEO Mike Federle to talk a little more about the company's debut. Mike, good to see you this morning here. So what's the pitch to investors?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. Good to see you, too. You know, the pitch for investors was pretty simple. It's a strategy of what we call closing the gap, and that's the gap between our enterprise value and this much bigger brand value that we have. And the way we're going to do this is through consumer conversion in terms of converting this very large digital audience that we have built into segmented audiences that we can then sell very specific subscriptions and memberships and products to.
Mike, why do you think that gap exists? Because that was interesting, an interesting note you put in the investor presentation, the gap between the brand value of Forbes, which has been around for some time, and the enterprise value. Why do you think that exists?
Yeah, well, Forbes, you know, I've worked on dozens of brands in my career, and Forbes is really a remarkable brand, very unique in its brand elasticity. It has potential to reach and really make an impact in audiences across a lot of different categories. If you're to ask 100 readers of Forbes what it means to them, you might get wealth, power, you know, business, investing, you know, rich, luxury, all these different terms. But it really distills down to success, and the word is success. And wherever there's an emerging business class around the world, there's an opportunity for Forbes to go in. And we've done just that with about 40 licensees around the world. And so as a result, our brand has this really gigantic outsized value to it that now our, you know, our goal is to make the business to be as big as the brand.
Hey, Mike, it's Julie here. I believe you guys put your content relatively recently behind a paywall. Can you talk to us about that decision and how many paid subscriptions you have and how much you expect that to drive revenue?
Yeah, we actually we experimented with a very limited metered paywall. And this strategy, I should say right up front, is not a hard paywall strategy. We are big believers in the ad market, and the ad model is going to continue to grow. And as we add data and analytics, our first party data platform, we're able to increase the value of that advertising. So we're bullish on advertising going on. But what we're doing is not a hard paywall, but creating these premium products and experiences. And this is going to be driven by, again, the data and analytics that we're able to produce as we begin to segment our audiences. And we've already begun to do this, and we've already begun to see good results on it. In terms of your question of the number of, you know, we have tens of thousands of subscribers, but that's really on this limited paywall. And that's really, again, was more of an experiment to see how we could begin to segment certain sectors of our audience and create that subscription revenue from kind of an old model subscription of just a paywall.
Gotcha. And speaking of old model of subscription, we were just showing the stats that you guys have 500,000 paid print subscribers, which in this day and age is an impressive number. Do you expect that number to stay where it is, considering we're sort of seeing the secular decline of that kind of a business?
No, it's interesting as you talk to people around the world, again, a testament to the brand is people will often refer to us as a magazine company still, and that's great. The magazine remains an important component to our mix, but it's only about 10% of the revenue. So we're 90%. We've made this digital transformation. We have created this digital media and information company of scale. And now we're at an inflection point. We're ready to go to the next step, which is really to develop very specific audience cohorts and customize our product and experiences to those audience cohorts based on what we know about them. As far as print goes, I don't see that changing a whole lot. We have been very smart and unnostalgic about right-sizing that business so that, you know, that 500,000 is down from probably a peak of 900,000 or so. But there remain a lot of interesting people or people interested in receiving the magazine and our information in that format.
Mike, I don't have to tell you this. So there's been a lot of consolidation in the industry of late. You have Politico, you have the Qataris being kicked on Axios. Once you are public, do you view your platform as an acquirer?
Yeah, it's, certainly we'll be looking at that. Our, you know, what we have, our premise to investors and to the street is this consumer conversion strategy. Again, we already have the very top end of the funnel, this very large 150 million audience across Forbes ecosystem. And so the investment thesis is more about making that conversion and having this additive new revenue stream on top of the very successful ad model that we have. But going forward, I mean, we're well positioned in a consolidating marketplace to take advantage of opportunities as they come up. And we will do that as well. And there are always opportunities out there.
Well, certainly looking forward to covering and following your public company journey. Forbes CEO, Mike Federle, good to see you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Julie.